Whakaalo whalahi atu, RNZ Pacific News ko Dominic Godfrey e hingo haaku. An 11-month-old baby is among the latest victims of COVID-19 in Fiji. The government reported 1,163 new cases and 6 deaths in the 24 hours to 8 o'clock yesterday morning. That compares with 1,301 cases and 9 deaths in the previous 24-hour period. Health Secretary Dr. James Fong says a frontline worker was also among the dead, all of whom were unvaccinated. Fiji now has over 21,000 active cases in isolation. Vaccinators at a mass clinic in Auckland hope to get through about 11,500 bookings today and tomorrow. About 4,700 people received their first Pfizer shot yesterday on the first day of the event. Katie Todd reports.
A dozen vaccinators, each of them trying to average a jab every 90 seconds, are working across 240 booths set up at the Manukau Event Centre. Coordinators say Auckland's largest previous vaccination clinics handled about 1,000 bookings a day. Patients are being bused to the event centre from the Manukau Institute of Technology. A repeat event for second doses is planned for 3 days in early September.
Australia Prime Minister Scott Morrison has set out vaccination targets he says need to be hit before his country can stop lockdowns and reopen its borders. The ABC's Stephen Schubert reports.
Scott Morrison says 70% of Australians will need to receive 2 vaccine shots before the country can move to the next phase of the National Recovery Plan. That would see lockdowns less likely but possible for future outbreaks. The Prime Minister says 80% would be needed to hit Phase C, where the fully vaccinated would be exempt from domestic travel restrictions and could also leave the country.
If you get vaccinated, there will be special rules that apply to you.
Just 18% of Australians over 16 have received 2 shots, but the Prime Minister says 70% is achievable by the end of the year.
Australia plans to eventually extend its Trans-Tasman travel bubble for unrestricted travel to other countries. A new study has found that tuna-dependent Pacific economies are facing a more serious threat from climate change-induced ocean warming than previously forecast. The impacts predicted for the year 2100 look now to be coming 50 years earlier, Kuroi Hawkins reports.
The study found the migration of tuna due to ocean warming may have already begun, and that if global carbon emission reduction targets are not met, all of the 10 Pacific countries studied stand to lose out. The research published in the journal Nature Sustainability found that if ocean warming continues at current rates, the tuna catch in the combined waters of the countries studied is expected to decline by an average of 20% by 2050. This is 50 years earlier than previously forecast. The study's lead author, Johan Bell of Conservation International, says it's a climate justice issue, given Pacific countries who contribute the least to greenhouse gases again stand to lose the most.
Fiji's Labour Party leader, Mahendra Chaudhry, is urging Fijians not to surrender their legal land leases to the government. The former Prime Minister's plea comes amid debate over the government's plan to amend the land bill. Local Government Minister Premila Kumar had urged tenants in informal settlements to surrender their lease documents to allow housing developments on Itoke land. But Mr. Chaudhry says residents should not do so. He was among several political figures taken in by police for questioning over criticism against the government.
The Attorney General was now after landowners reportedly proposing arbitrary changes to the Native Lands Act without proper consultation.
Mr. Chaudhry claims any amendment to the Native Lands Act will remove protection for landowners and tenants. Meanwhile, Fiji's Speaker of Parliament has rejected 3 petitions calling for the withdrawal of a government plan to amend the Land Trust Act. The petitions were filed separately yesterday by opposition SEDELPA leader Bill Ngavoka, opposition whip Linda Tambuya and MP Jesse Saukuru. But Ratu Epeli Nailatikau ruled the petitions are out of order and he'd not present it to the House. He said this would only frustrate a process already agreed to by Parliament and is an abuse of the parliamentary process. According to SEDELPA, more than 20,000 people had signed the petitions. New Zealand's Pacific Peoples Minister says the Dawn Raids of the 1970s scarred him for life. Aupito William Seo will stand alongside Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern tomorrow at Auckland's Town Hall as the government makes an formal apology for the raids. Between 1973 and the early 80s, police and immigration targeted people from the Pacific in a campaign against overstayers, though most visitors who exceeded the terms of their visas were European. Aupito says they were an attack on a proud people.
All of us who have memories of and experienced it, we are scarred for life. I probably found that having declared with the Prime Minister offering the apology, that suddenly there was this weight released, that the harm that was caused on a proud people was wrong.
Aupito William Seo describes the raids as racism of the worst kind. A man who was forced into conversion therapy as a teenager says the New Zealand government's ban of the practice will help prevent long-lasting suffering. Legislation has been introduced that will make conversion therapy a criminal act, with more serious offences attracting up to 5 years in prison. Paul Stevens was forced into conversion therapy by the church when he was 15 after he told leaders he was gay.
When you're a young person and you're developing your sense of identity, if you have people who are telling you that you need to change something which is actually fundamental about who you are, it does do lasting damage.
The practice of trying to change a person's sexual orientation will be banned under the new law. It will include religious groups, but they'll still be able to freely express their beliefs. Vanuatu celebrated its 41st anniversary of independence yesterday. The Prime Minister marked the occasion with a national address. Bob Loughman told Vanuatu that although the country is facing the ongoing threat of COVID-19 and has been through a political crisis, it has managed to survive economically. He touted his government's decision to invest over 4 billion vatu for the transport infrastructure sector of the productive sector. A Hong Kong man has been sentenced to 9 years in prison after he rode a motorbike into police officers while flying a flag with a protest slogan. Tong Ying Kit is the first person to be charged under Hong Kong's controversial national security law. He was found guilty of inciting secession and terrorism because of the slogan on his flag, which read, "Liberate Hong Kong, Revolution for Our Times." To sport, Fiji men's sevens coach Gareth Barber says some people thought he was crazy taking charge of a team that was already Olympic champions, but the Welshman says he and his family have loved the past 5 years in Fiji, which culminated in a gold medal triumph in Tokyo on Wednesday. Barber says he knew taking charge of the Olympic champions was an impossible job, but he's loved it.
You know, if you want to be the best at something and you want to keep getting better, then you've got to challenge yourself. And I never shirked from a challenge. People thought I was crazy doing it in the first place, but certainly not my wife or my kids. They just said, yeah, we'll follow you. We'll get on with that. Let's go and do it. And I couldn't hope for better, if I'm honest, in that. And I think that, you know, I just want to be the best coach I can possibly be. I love coaching.
Gareth Barber is still contracted until December with the new World 7 Series scheduled to kick off in September in Vancouver. The Fiji women's sevens rugby side is through to the semi-finals of the Tokyo Olympics after shocking defending champions Australia 14-12 in their quarter-final last night. Aloisi Nakothi gave the Fijians their dream start with a try early on to lead 7-0. Ana Maria Naimasi scored Fiji's second try to extend their lead to 14-0. However, a high tackle by Vasiti Solikovici saw the veteran sinbinned as Fiji was reduced to 6 players. Faith Nathan grabbed a try back for Australia as Fiji's lead was reduced to 14-5 at half-time. The Australians scored a late try, but it wasn't enough as Fiji progressed to the semi-finals where they'll meet New Zealand later today. In other sport, Samoa discus thrower Alex Rose's Olympic journey has come to an end after finishing 8th out of a group of 15 in Group B of the long throw qualifiers. Qualifying performances of 66 metres or the 12 best performers will advance to the finals today. He threw 61.72 and finished 17th overall. Guam runner Regine Tugaret-Watson will advance to the first round of qualifiers after finishing fourth in Heat 2 of the women's 100-metre sprint yesterday. The 23-year-old finished behind Iran, Malaysia and Kuwait with a season best of 12.17 seconds. And meanwhile, Tuvalu runner Matsi Stanley finished 8th in Heat 3 of the women's 100-metre sprint. Despite finishing 8th out of 9 runners, she recorded a personal best of 14.52 seconds. There's plenty more action happening for our Pacific athletes, with Fiji and Palau, Tonga and Papua New Guinea competing. Samoa and Papua New Guinea are also competing in the sailing event. And that's the latest RNZ Pacific news and sport.